question this morning. I want you to think about a particular image that might come in your mind. When you think of the word rest, what image comes in your mind? Where do you go? I've got a couple that are going to be on the screen here that as I started looking online and was trying to think of what seems restful for me. But I want to kind of ask you, what do you think of when you think of rest? Sometimes it's a good book. You know, for some you like to read and you think, man, if I could just get away and read. For others, it's coming home, sitting on the couch and cramming a burger down your throat, right? All kinds of options like that. This is what I think of. Putting my feet up and giving me a remote. Please, just don't talk to me for a while. Some of you think of a cabin. You want to get away? You want to go to a special place? For some of you, when you think of rest, you actually think of, you know, exercise. You think of getting out and going on a run or a walk. And maybe it's cowgirl. Take me away, right? You get this nice bath. And then for others, I thought of Bill when I put this one up there. You just want to get on a boat and you want to fish, right? And you just want to escape a little bit. And I think every one of us have a different image in our mind. Each one of us have something different that comes to our mind's eye of what we think of when we think of rest. And that's what's kind of cool about the creativity of God in our lives. Well, today we're gonna kind of look at this as kind of a celebration of Labor Day. We were originally planning to look at the very ninth and final installment of the Story of God series. And we're going to look at the final painting and everything that goes with that next Sunday. When we look at the new heaven and the new earth, and we're going to kind of go all the way from that early church that Julie talked about last week in the Holy Spirit, and we're going to launch all the way to our present day. What does this whole story of God mean for us? So that'll be next Sunday. And then after that, we're going to start a new series called Hurdles, which I'm really, really looking forward to. Looking at the obstacles of life and how we are wired really to get around those and jump over those and through those. But today, on this Labor Day weekend, I felt like it was just so appropriate for us to pause and think about rest. I mean, it just kind of blows me away that we have to have a national holiday called Labor Day to get a long weekend, right? I mean, it's been a national holiday for 118 years, since 1894. And I really think it's probably one of the worst named holidays we have. We call it Labor Day. Shouldn't it be something totally like kickback and rest day? It's not about working. Labor is work, right? Laborer Day would even be at least a day to celebrate the worker. Should be paddle back day, chill out, don't call me day, something. But we call it Labor Day, and it's been that way for a long time, as a way to give people a deserved break. In Michigan, it's the end of summer, or at least we think it is. I think it's still going to be in the 80s coming up, so I don't think summer's quite over. But in Michigan, we tend to think of it as this is it. Summer's over. But at least summer vacation's over and school begins, that's for sure. So, what do we do with this idea of rest? I've been thinking about rest a lot lately. As a matter of fact, I'm glad the crowd is a little smaller today. I have in my notes to kind of share with you that over the last 16 months or so, I've been really struggling with rest. Struggling with what it, how it plays out in my life, because I can, to be honest with you, I'm pretty bad at getting good rest. And so I've had to see, you know, a doctor to try to figure out why am I so fatigued all the time? Why am I cranky all the time? All those signs of when you don't have good rest that you do. And so, you know, initially I was diagnosed with having low testosterone, which is pretty common when you get, you know, your older age, when I'm about 40 years old. I know several, as a matter of fact, it's funny, when I was diagnosed with that, I would share that with some other guys, and I'm like, yeah, I've got that same thing. So I know it's very common. My doctor initially, you know, just said, here's this needle that's about this long, and it's the thickest needle that we make because that stuff is really thick and it's hard to get into your muscles. And so here you go. Shoot yourself three times with that, you know, once a month, and have fun. Well, I'm the biggest chicken there is, okay? And so, no joke, the first time I had to inject this testosterone stuff into me, it took me about 30 minutes and four different ice cubes to try to numb my arm to the point where I thought I wouldn't feel it. And actually, when I put the needle in, I was shocked. I was like, oh my word, I did it. It's sitting there dangling out of my arm. So I didn't really dig that. No follow-up plan, you know, that first, you know, day, I'm like throwing things around. I feel like I didn't like the plan. I said, I'd rather be fatigued than do this. And so another year went by, and I realized I really need to do something different. So I found a new doctor, a different doctor who actually was much more thorough. So this doctor found out that my testosterone level was actually much lower than it was a year ago. So we had to come up with a new plan, which they did. They found out that certain vitamins were way off, like a B12 vitamin way off. I had to take care of that. They thought I had maybe even a heart situation. Like, I don't know if you've ever heard of a right brain block. It's kind of weird, but it's an electrical issue, not a vein issue. So I had to be a cardiologist. I thought that was quite intriguing. They thought I had sleep apnea. He looks at me, my doctor's from Middle Eastern world, and you big neck, small throat, sleep apnea, right? And that's a terrible Middle Eastern accent right there. But right away, he's like diagnosing me sleep apnea, and I'm like, please, anything but the CPAP machine, okay? Anything. And so, they give me this gel instead of the needle for the testosterone. I'm like, sweet, I love this guy, I can handle that. The B12 stuff, Julie introduced me to these B12 vitamins that you suck on, that are cherry, it's like candy. I struggle to only eat one. I'm like, oh man, those are really, really good. So that's easy. The cardiologist thing panned out to be a misplaced electrode, no problems there, so thankfully that's not an issue. But the sleep study is a whole other issue. How many of you have been through that? They make you pay for that. I understand it. Okay? And so it's crazy. Those of you who've been through it, you get things stuck on you that should not be stuck on you in places that should not be stuck on you. And then they ask you to sleep. And this doesn't make any sense. And then the beauty of all of that, if you really want to discover rest, they want you to come back a second time and do that. And this time they're going to put a hose on your nose that if you open your mouth, your lungs might flop out of your mouth, literally. It's the most terrifying feeling I've ever felt in my life. And seriously, I had to sleep with this thing on my nose. Some of you do this all the time, and you say, if it gets better, I really don't want to find out. I'm doing anything and everything I can to stay away from the CPAP machine, okay? But I'm trying to also, at the same time, I want good rest, right? I mean, that's what it's for. It's kind of a miserable machine that I think takes away all form of dignity in anyone's life. But at the same time, it offers better rest. Because I think a lot of the things that cause us stress and worry and anxiety in our life can kind of come back to the fact that we don't sleep well. That we don't honor God with the rhythms of our life. And therefore, we struggle even in our mind to be able to think clearly because we're not healthy in our sleep patterns. So I know it's for my good, but I'm doing anything and everything I can to avoid having that little air pump run next to my bed, right? So the rest of that story will just happen. That'll be another sermon another day. But rest. Rest. That's going to be the focus of our time today. I struggle finding rest physically. But even more importantly, I think that I struggle embracing rest spiritually. And we're going to look at those two differences and what I mean by that in just a second. God ordained rest. When I look at Genesis chapter 2, He has completed 6 days of work. And yet on the seventh day, He rests. By the seventh day, it says, God finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all of His work. It goes on to say, He blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. He made the seventh day holy. According to the calendar, the seventh day, especially traditionally, is Saturday. For our Jewish brothers and sisters, the Sabbath day is Saturday. It's their day of rest, their day of worship. We celebrate resurrection on the first day of the week, on Sunday. So it doesn't really matter what day of the week it is for you. But I understand that God rested. And I'm intrigued by all of that. Because honestly, creation leaves me with lots of questions, but one of them is, if you would have worked one more day, how much cooler would creation have been? What are we missing because you took time off? I mean, that's my mentality. Like, this is pretty cool. 6 days, you were in a good rhythm. Why did you stop? Right? But God shows us that rest is this important. He reminds us of how important it is because when he gives us the law, and we kind of know them as the Ten Commandments, he gets to this one. Remember the Sabbath day, keeping it holy. He made it holy, but he tells us we are to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but on the Sabbath. But the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. Therefore, again, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. Rest is holy. And see, and I think maybe it's the Eastern culture, maybe it's just the way I was raised, or maybe it's just my own limited thinking. But too often I think rest is lazy. Too often I give into the idea that if I'm sitting still, I'm not doing what I ought to be doing. I'm constantly thinking about the list that should be done, and I probably shouldn't sit here. And I know I think about that, and Tammy thinks about that twice as much. You know, as mothers, you guys think about a whole lot of other things because your home is your workplace. I come home and I want it to be my refuge. But for the home worker, it is work. So there's always a list. There's always things we're thinking about, and we can never truly embrace rest. And I think part of it's because we don't recognize its sanctity. We don't give ourselves the freedom to say yes to it. Sometimes we even feel guilty for entering into it. And so I want us to think about just how holy this is, that we would be able to sit down, that we would be allowed to rest, empty our minds, and allow God to work in our lives. Since the law has been given, since the times, these ancient times where God gave us his law, there has been a legal battle surrounding the interpretation of it. God's people struggled in understanding what did they exactly mean by that. So to protect themselves, they made up all kinds of rules that followed the Sabbath understanding. But they were missing it. It's kind of like you and I, though. It's not any different than what we do. We recognize that when you get on the interstate, the speed limit is 70 miles an hour. But we also understand that we will likely not get pulled over as long as we're going 75 or under. Right? Some of you believe that can be 77 or 78. Most, I'd like to live in the world of 75 and under. Breaking the law, but I don't think I'm going to get caught. So this is the way we read God's law a lot of times. We read God's law. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. But what does that mean? Just how far can I take that without feeling guilty for doing something? And then we're totally missing the intent of what that law was there to begin with. The law for 70 miles an hour is to keep you safe. So that you're not going too much faster than somebody else. So that you wouldn't come up on somebody in a bad way. We miss that. We're only focused about what's the limit so that I don't have to pay and give you a ticket. The law for us becomes, again, break it. The law has good intention, and the law of Sabbath is no different. The law of Sabbath was to give us rest so that our bodies wouldn't break down, so that we would be able to engage God's Spirit. See, keeping the Sabbath, in my opinion, was never designed to be a legal list of do's and don'ts. Keeping of Sabbath was designed to be a positioning of our hearts, the positioning of our spirit toward our Creator, toward our God. So God knows that true rest goes way beyond how much sleep you get. It goes way beyond the physical. True rest is really about a peace of mind. In God's eyes. True rest is really about the ability to enjoy life. and to find joy in life. Seeing the big picture and not sweating the small stuff. True rest is also about hard work. Because at the end of the day, when you look back and you know that you've contributed towards something bigger, there is a peace that comes over you, especially us guys. When we know we've done something good today, and we go home with a peaceful mindset because of our hard work. And that offers us true rest. And I don't want to say that physical rest isn't important. I don't want you to think that I'm totally throwing that out with this bucket. They are intricately connected. As a matter of fact, I read that physical rest helps your body heal. Did you know that? Your body heals itself during sleep. And without sleep, your body continues to break down. Good rest keeps your heart healthy. It reduces stress. It improves your memory. It increases your creativity. Maybe I need to sleep a whole lot more knowing that. It helps you avoid depression and mood disorders, all by rest. And you'll know this to be true because if you ever have a series of sleepless nights in a row, look out, right? Everything starts to break down, physically and emotionally. Rest provides so much for us in the physical realm. But I can tell you this to be true. You can find all the rest that you think you need physically, but still feel completely worn out. And the reason is no inner peace. You can get all the rest in the world, but at the end of the day, if inside of you, there is a battle going on for peace and wholeness, you feel like you've been through a boxing match. And it weighs on you, and it tears you down. I want to find true rest. Yes, I need to establish better patterns of sleeping and finding rest and giving myself time off. I understand. But at the same time, I want to find true inner rest that comes from walking with God. The author of Hebrews talks about a Sabbath rest as a final dwelling place, a final dwelling place for God's people. It's intriguing, his words here, but it's not just something that we do. It's actually, in his words, something we enter. That we have the ability to enter into rest. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. I don't think I have a slide for this. This is free of charge. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did, that they being their ancestors, the Jews of the Old Testament, the Israelites of the Old Testament. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. But now we who have believed enter into that rest. There's drawn a comparison between the people of Israel and the Old Testament who were trying to understand Sabbath and how they were receiving the words of the gospel on that day. And the comparison was that the people from their ancestry heard all of these things but still could not combine that with faith. They could not understand what Sabbath was really all about, and so they could never enter into God's peace, into God's salvation. But he was drawing a connection to that when we hear the gospel, we understand what it's about, and we can enter into this rest, this dwelling place, this place of comfort, this place of security that God has to offer us. The commentary writer that I was reading about this passage talked about this being a salvation rest. And for those of you who understand or have experienced this, you probably will identify with this, that when we come to a saving knowledge of God's work in our life, when we understand our sin and we understand that God's Spirit wants to purify us and make us holy, that there is a peace that falls on us that is deeper than anything we've ever experienced. It's similar to, but not exactly, but it's similar to when you have a child. You think you know love, but then you have this child in front of you, and then all of a sudden love takes on a whole new shape and form. You think you know forgiveness. You think you know peace, But when God gives you His forgiveness, and when He extends grace to you, and your sins can be wiped clean, and you feel this cleansing in your heart, that is a peace that you've never known before. And that is the rest that the Hebrew writer is speaking of. It is like for the Israelites coming into the promised land. They were on this journey for so long, and finally there they were, given this great land flowing with milk and honey, the scripture says, a land that yielded everything. All the crops were huge. It was a wonderful place. That was rest. But the people continued to live in disobedience, and so they lost their land. They lost their rest. They fell short of it. Today, there is an invitation for us to enter into a rest that is of God. A rest that is abounding in peace internally. A rest that is something that is even hard to describe with human words because of the joy and the life change that it brings. And it's not on a physical level, though it's tangible. You can feel it. We're talking about a rest that's on a spiritual level. Many things work against this. I mean, we have things that work against our physical rest. Unrealistic schedules. Got to get the kids 14 different directions. Our boss needs more out of us. Poor eating habits. Technology allows us to work all times of the day. All kinds of financial stress, worry, and anxiety. Dysfunctional family structures that are constantly yielding more arguments and yelling and screaming than security. And unrealistic expectations based on you relationally, occupationally, and even religiously. All these things work against our ability to work or to rest physically. But even think about this spiritually. If we're looking for a spiritual rest, what works against our salvation rest? How about doubts? How about that we doubt ourselves and our ability to even be loved by God? How about that we often wonder if we've done enough to please God? Like if there's this list and He's keeping track of it, if we've done enough to find His favor. We have all these goals of reading the Bible, praying, and talking to our children about this stuff, and yet we get to the end of the day and we're exhausted. And we don't do enough with our kids, spiritually speaking. We experience a load of guilt because of our sin. And it keeps us unable to rest in His presence. We feel unworthy in every way. This is, I think, too much a picture of the church. A church that's not at rest with our Savior. And yet, this is the gift He wants to give us. Four things I want to leave you with today. Four things that I want to give you today that I believe can help all of us, including myself, in the pursuit of finding true spiritual rest. Are you ready? In your notes today, we're going to build an acronym. It's no secret there. The letters R-E-S-N-T. We're going to build just a series of words to try to help us understand rest today. And the R is rhythm. That we need to be people who establish a rhythm of rest. Now, I've already talked about this undeniable truth, that God established the rhythm. You work 6 days, and you take a break for the seventh day. And that rhythm is holy. But even spiritually speaking, there needs to be a rhythm for us spiritually to find this deep inner peace that we seek. We need to set this as a priority. We need to set it apart. We need to protect it. Maybe part of this rhythm of rest is making sure that we're in a place, in an environment, where we're speaking about spiritual things. Whether that's church on Sunday morning, or listening to Christian music, or whether that's being a part of Boost on Wednesday nights. You need to find for you, what is that rhythm that works for you? I can tell you this to be true, because I listen to music throughout the day in the office. I listen to music as I'm traveling to and from places. And I can tell you that when I listen to music of the world, I really enjoy it. There's a lot of fun stuff out there, and I kind of like a wide variety of things. Not even one thing more than the other. But there's a noticeable difference about my spirit and my feeling of rest when I allow only songs of the world to be a part of my day than than songs that speak of Christ and His goodness. Now, I'm not telling you have to listen to only Christian music, because I don't. But I'm telling you, there's a noticeable difference when I go too long without allowing those songs to penetrate my soul. It's very painful for Christian radio and for Christian artists to encourage me in that way. So I want you to think about, what is your rhythm? What do you need to establish as a rhythm for you? That you put yourself in a place where you are engaging with God's Spirit on a regular basis and feeling that rest. God established that rhythm. He modeled it for us, and He wants us to be a part of it as well. We're people of rhythm. The E, experience joy. Experience true joy. This is something that I think too many times we don't do. We don't often step back and see the big picture. The book of Lamentations in the Bible is the only book in the Bible that I know of that is built purely on the poetry of lamenting, of being upset, of grieving. People of Israel knew how to grieve very well, very effectively. They allowed that to come out in so many different ways. And when I was thinking about that, chapter 5, there are just a couple of different verses here in chapter 5 that stood out to me. Those who pursue us are at our heels, the writer writes here. We are weary and find no rest. You ever feel like people who are pursuing you are always on your tail, always pursuing you? They're in your thoughts. They're always, everywhere you turn, they're posting something on Facebook, and you know it's against you, and you're always just worried about it all the time. That's how we feel. We find no rest. And then he goes on to say, joy has gone from our hearts. Our dancing has turned into mourning. When we have no rest, when we feel that we are being pursued on every side, we lose all sense of joy. We lose any sense of being able to find the goodness of life. Can you identify with that? I certainly can. When I feel like I'm being pressured, the best does not come out of me. And I often have a hard time seeing and even relaxing to the point of being fun to be around. Rest offers us the best chance at experiencing the joy that God has designed for us. God has not designed us to be people who are not dancing. God has not designed us to be people who are stuck in mourning and in sadness. God has designed us to be people of great joy. And to do that, we must find our spiritual rest. Psalm 35 says, His anger lasts only for a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for the night, but joy comes in the morning. There is a rhythm of finding joy that we must experience. So we have a rhythm of rest. We want to experience joy. And we need to, and I believe this will be the product of finding good spiritual rest, is we need to be people of spiritual worship. You will experience God's deeper. You will experience God deeper when you get into this good rhythm and experience God's joy. You will see Him more clearly. You will hear Him speak to you. You will know that He's real. There will be fewer doubts in your life, and you'll be able to worship Him with no doubts when you experience His rest. For us, walking with Jesus gives us the peace. It offers us the peace to see the bigger picture. So that when things don't go quite the way we think that they are, we can still worship. When life goes a different way than we think that it should go, we can still worship. When our rhythms are in the right order, and when we are able to then experience His joy, we are able to experience worship on a level that is so wonderful. Never ending. Wherever we go, no matter what we face. I'm going to move on quickly to the T. We learned this a couple weeks ago at BBS. Simple word, trust. We need to be people of rhythm. We need to be people of joy. We need to be people of worship. But all of it's built on the foundation of trusting the Lord. Philippians 4 says, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then these familiar words, I can do everything through through Him that gives me strength. When we are trusting God for everything, and when we have found what it means to be content, then there is nothing we cannot do. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope in the future. Jeremiah 29:11. But do you know Jeremiah 29:12? Because then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with your whole heart. That's trust. When we can trust in God, we are secure in knowing that His plans are for our good and prosper us and not for our harm. 1 John 3, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. Let us not love with words, but with actions. When we put God's gospel message and God's love into action, the writer says we will set our hearts at rest in His presence. Nobody says it better than Jesus. Matthew 11. He's teaching and preaching and loving on a group of people that are just so much under the pressure and stress of a religious set of rules. And with all compassion and love, Jesus looks at them and says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think if Jesus were alive today, these same words would come off of His lips. If He were walking our earth and coming to our churches and speaking in our towns, He would look at us, the church, and say, listen, you don't need to feel the burden any longer. I want you to come to me. My burden is light. I'm here to offer you rest. Jesus is offering you this rest today. A rest that can only come from our soul experiencing His presence. When I think of Labor Day, I think of a long weekend and a final chance to experience summer. A time to kick back and a time to enjoy family. I find it sad that I've had to build that weekend into my schedule, into my routine. This Labor Day, I'm reminded that every day could be a day of rest if I spiritually allow myself to be disciplined into the rhythms that God offers. Every day can be a day of great peace when I allow those rhythms to translate into an experience of joy and true worship. And none of that's possible unless I yield my will to Him. And unless I trust what He's doing above what I think is right. I want to extend to you today the opportunity to pray for rest. To pray for a rest that would come over you that isn't physical, though it won't feel like it, maybe. But a rest that is deeper than that. A rest that is spiritual. A rest that comes from the Almighty God. Pray with me. Lord, today is your day, set apart for you. I pray that all the things that we have done and said in this place, all the songs we have sung, all the prayers we have prayed have honored you. But I pray now for my friends who are weary, my friends who are tired and burdened, my friends who are worn out by feeling the pressures of this world, by even feeling the pressures of this religious structure that we have even. I pray that they would find rest this day. Help us to put our trust in you. Help us to find true inner peace that can only come from you. Help us to find true forgiveness of sins that often torment us and keep us away from you. Help us to put our will and yield it to yours. We love you, God. We trust you. Help us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Listen to the words of this grace.
Come unto me.